Ramses had 67 years to prepare for his death. It was an incredible treasure that must have been in there, but it was all looted, all gone, right? Now, I think that Ramses turning his attention to tombs, not riding out to do battle anymore, I think it's a psychological event, so to speak, his midlife crisis. I think he's had these hard knocks. He has lost his wife, his beloved wife. He has lost two of his important sons, and many more undoubtedly. But I think there is another event that just may have really done him in. And that's what I want to discuss now. The event, the biblical Exodus. It may be that Ramses is the Pharaoh of the Exodus, and this may have been the last knock that Ramses suffered. Now, let me say something about the Exodus story in the Bible. First, it is the event in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, that is mentioned more than any other event. No event in the Old Testament is mentioned more frequently. It is perhaps the most important event to the Hebrews. Why? Because it establishes their legitimacy, it talks about going to the promised land, all of that. Very important. So it's a very important event, mentioned in the Bible quite often, and the big mystery is, how come there is no archaeological evidence for it? There is absolutely no external evidence for the Exodus that it ever happened. Why not? Well, let's say something about what the story is. You'll remember some of it, I'm sure. According to the biblical account, we have the Israelites in Egypt, and they are in bondage, right? They're in bondage. Now, we don't have the name of the Pharaoh. This is an interesting thing. He is only called Pharaoh. We don't say Ramses, they don't say Thutmose. He is always called Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh is not originally an Egyptian word. It is not the way that the Egyptians called the king. The Egyptian word would be Nesut, one word for king. There are others, not Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a corruption of two Egyptian words, per, which means house, and ah, which means great. Para, the great house. And it seems as if the foreigners, the Hebrews, the Israelites, called the king the guy who lived in the great house, the para, the Pharaoh. So we get it from that. So he's not named. Now, why not name him? In such an important account, why not name the king? I think the answer is that the Hebrews want to make a point that this isn't personal. We're not dealing with just a man. It's the Israelites against the Pharaoh, against something bigger, almost against the god, because remember, the Pharaoh is a god. So it's just the Pharaoh. Now, according to the story, we have these Israelites in bondage. They are toiling for the Pharaoh. They are building store cities, if you'll remember. Now, store cities, this is for the army. Store cities are cities with warehouses where you keep the equipment, the sandals, the spears, the this, the that. So that makes sense. It's the time of Ramses. Anyway, they're building store cities, and we have the names of the store cities. That's our clue. The store cities are Pitom. Pitom means something like the house of Atum, house of Tum. And one of the store cities, the other one, is named Ramses, P. Ramses. Right, so one of the cities is named Ramses. Now, the problem is there are 11 kings named Ramses, but it's a good clue that it could be our Ramses. Other details in this story. If you'll remember, Moses is the leader of the Israelites. Now, Moses is an important name. We have no evidence of anybody named Moses ever being in Egypt, right? We have no evidence of lots of Israelites in Egypt. We have no evidence of any of this. But the name Moses, I think, is important. First, if you read a lot of Bibles, there's often a comment about the name Moses, the etymology, the origin of that name. Remember, Moses is set adrift in a basket because the Pharaoh has ordered that all the male Israelite children be killed, and his mother's afraid, takes the baby, puts it in a basket, and follows it down the river and reads, looking to see who finds it, and the Egyptian princess finds it and takes it out of the water. And the Bible often says, or the commentary says, she named him Moses Moses. Because in Hebrew, Moses means to draw out, to bring out. Now, this doesn't make any sense. Why is an Egyptian princess going to all of a sudden start speaking Hebrew and name a kid Hebrew? Crazy. What the truth is, and what gives a little bit of strength to the story, is that Moses is an Egyptian name. It means birth. And that makes sense. She's getting a kid. So she calls him birth or born. So Moses is a good Egyptian name. Forget this Hebrew stuff.